Hello and welcome everyone, friends, family. If you are new and exploring the beloved Study Church family, or maybe you're new to exploring faith and spirituality today, welcome. We are so glad that you're here with us online today or watching online. At Beloved, we are passionate about growing a thriving and life-giving church where you and your family can flourish spiritually and relationally, where you can belong before you believe, where you can both meaningfully receive and valuably contribute as a member of this spiritual family while you continue on your journey, just like us, of finding hope and healing, hope for your tomorrow and healing from your yesterdays, as you journey to know God and find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Not only are we a church that exists for a distinct mission, though, at Beloved, we also choose to be people who are led by Jesus and shaped by grace and moved by love. And this is shaped by a distinct set of cultural targets here in our household of faith that we choose to practice, to grow in, targets which we prescribe and describe the culture that we are growing here. See, when you think culture, think attitude. When you think values, think behavior. And this is fundamental to our discipleship journey, friends, to our growth and development as Jesus followers. So here's what we choose to do. We choose to love God and love people, pursue excellence, and choose joy. And so we love that you can be a journey along with us as we continue to walk this faith thing out with Jesus' journey together. So I hope you have your Bibles with you, your notepads, and I truly believe that the Holy Spirit wants to talk to us today. So if you open your Bibles and pull out your notebooks, and would you just pray with me briefly? Holy Spirit, soften our hearts to receive the seeding of the Word of God today. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to our church and to this church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So friends, if you are new with us, we are in the middle of a series called Beautiful People, where we are answering the question, what does it mean to be beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven here and now? And to answer that question, we've been exploring and wrestling and grappling through Matthew's gospel account of one of Jesus' most famous teachings, the Sermon on the Mount, or Jesus' declaration of what my kingdom is really all about, where Jesus has been describing what it looks like to be beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven. So today we're going to continue exploring in chapter 6 of Matthew to see what we're going to see, to see what we're going to learn, what God has to say to us, that the beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven here and now are people who truly trust that God is enough. So that's what we're going to explore today, that the beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven here and now are people who fully trust that God is enough. And it's beautiful. And so as we continue today, we're going to read through Matthew 6, verses 19 to 34, and we're going to talk about treasure, eyes, and worry. So those are three things that we're going to unpack today. And what the heck do these things have in common, you might be asking, right? So let's jump in. I'm picking up in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 19. It says this: do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. All right, there we are. Right off the bat there's treasure. So turn to the person beside you, if you're with someone today listening, and say, where? We found treasure, right? We just found treasure. Okay, let's put a pin in that, though, and come back to it in a little bit, because I want to unpack that to a different degree. Let's keep reading as Jesus is about to make a dramatic shift. Verse 22 says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, then how great is this darkness, he says. Now, one might read this and be like, what the heck does it mean? How is my eye the lamp to my whole body? If my eye is healthy, I will be full of light. And if it's unhealthy, it'll be full of darkness. Like, what is this even supposed to mean, right? Why is Jesus talking about healthy and unhealthy eyes here? I personally have a degenerative eye disease myself called keratoconus. And most of you wouldn't have known that, but it's an eye disease where your cornea loses shape and it begins to cone instead of maintaining its nice appropriate curvature. Over time as it progresses, it causes blurred vision and sensitivity to light and light glare. And you can actually go blind if it's untreated. My mother has the same eye disease and she's had 3 cornea transplants to date. Not really that fun to walk through, right? For myself, I don't really enjoy driving after dark because I find it challenging, especially when it's rained. It's the glare from other people's headlights, etc. It's almost blinding, and it causes me a lot of eye strain and eye fatigue. And so I wear glasses to help with the correction so that I might see a bit better than without, of course. And I can see not too bad without my eyeglasses. I might have to squint a bit more, right, to make out the details far away or whatever. And I would have a headache before too long if I'm squinting for too much and I'm straining my eyes, right, if I don't wear my glasses. And I know some people who wouldn't even be able to walk around without their glasses without tripping and falling over something. We are so blessed in an age, friends, where we can receive healthcare to a whole other level than historically we might have. This week, though, Ariana and my daughter made a trip to the eye doctor, and it's kind of funny, you know, looking through this major contraption of science, this big thingamajiggy that's got all these dials and stuff on it, and the doc says, okay, can you read the letters from top to bottom, you know, and you're like, A, Z, E, B, Q, whatever it is, and as you get closer to the bottom, you think you're seeing and saying the correct letters, only to find out that your accuracy was only good for the first two lines. Next eye, oh man, right? This is how it works, right? But friends, sometimes the way we see the world is off. So my question for us today is, how are your eyes? When we see the world in a way that we don't understand or don't know and it's off, we need corrective eye, you know, lenses or whatever. Jesus wants to talk to us about that. So my question for us today is, how are your eyes, or how are you seeing the world around you? See, Jesus isn't talking about our natural or physical eyes. He's talking about the lens through which we see the world around us, how we see others, how we even see Him, God, right? In fact, the Greek word used in the passage of Scripture for healthy can also mean generous. So this Scripture that we just read in Matthew 6, well, the word here also for unhealthy can also mean stingy. So am I looking at the world through generous eyes or stingy eyes? Isn't that interesting, right? And I believe it makes sense, though. As the Jewish people, the ancient Hebrew people who he was speaking to, have a long-standing figure of speech about eyes that Jesus' audience in this passage of Scripture would have immediately understood. For them, your eye was a way to describe someone's attitude towards life and others. They would say that you had either an Ein Tova, which is a good eye, or an Ein Ra'a, which is a bad eye. So Ein Tova, and I'm no Hebrew expert here, but meaning that you were someone who looked for the good in situations and in others. You're like a glass half full kind of person, optimistic, positive. But not only that, you were also someone who was generous in giving toward those in need. If you saw a need, you responded with generosity. You have what some people would call an abundance mindset, because deep down you believe that there is more than enough to go around. Or if you had an Ein Ra'a, a bad eye, meaning you looked for bad and the negative in situations, right? You're a glass half empty kind of person. You tend to be overcritical and are always quick to point out the flaws in others and even in yourself. Not only that, but you're also stingy towards others. You were only out to meet your own needs because deep down you don't believe there's enough to go around. You have what some people would call a scarcity mindset. And a scarcity mindset, friends, is solely focused on or consumed with what we don't have. And when we are in this posture or live life within this attitude, we miss out on the opportunity to actually maximize what we do have, what we have been given by God. See, beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven here and now are called to stewardship, right? To plant and to nurture, to grow, to tend to multiply, and to reap and to harvest. Beautiful people are called to maximize what we have been given, what we've been gifted. Yet I know how often we find ourselves with a bad eye and filled with criticism or critiquing. And it's one thing, friends, to be a skeptic, but don't let your investigative eye, your exploratory mindset, turn into a critical attitude or contempt or bitterness or critical spirit, right? Critics, especially armchair critics, right? Website, Facebook, and YouTube, it's full of them, right? Not only criticize others, but often are quite critical of themselves too, which results in us becoming more stingy in self-protection and all kinds of things happen, making sure that our needs are met first, right? Friends, how is this affecting our call to kingdom stewardship? Jesus is saying, don't do that, friends. The eye is the lamp of the entire body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Can you imagine? Here's what we can't miss, though. How we see has a massive impact on how we live, give, serve, and love like Jesus. Because in so many ways, what we see determines what we actually do. If I see a stop sign, I'm going to stop, right, for the most part. If I don't see the stop sign, I just won't stop. I'll just run through that intersection. My brother, when I was younger, he first started driving. He got his first car, and all three of us were in the car going to 7-Eleven for a Slurpee and a snack. Tunes are on, beautiful day. And bam, out of nowhere, we just T-boned a little old lady in her car. And I was shocked. What just happened? Soon to realize that my brother didn't stop for the stop sign. He didn't see it. What we see determines our actions. What we see determines what we do. right? And if I don't see the $20 bill laying on the ground, I'm not going to randomly reach down hoping to find a $20 bill. What we see determines what we do, right? So back to the question, how are your eyes and how do you see? Do you have a good eye? Do you see the good in others and what's going on around you? Do you step into a room looking to meet the needs of others? Or do you jump on a team to meet the needs of your local church body? Do you see a need and fill it before you're even asked to? How's your eyesight today? How's your eyes? Are you full of light or do you have a bad eye? Is the glass kind of half empty? Someone else will do that. Do you look for the negative and the worst in others? Do you see other people and only think about how you can have your needs met? Is your worldview darkened, friends, by your bad eye, your negative eye? Friends, I truly believe that this matters so much in our kingdom living. And I believe Jesus is teaching us as Jesus followers how you see affects your ability to fully play your part in God's kingdom. I know when we are discipled, though, by our culture instead of the word of God, it's normal to have a bad eye, right? It's normalized. It's actually celebrated. It's glorified in our world to do you and to be your authentic, miserable self and a critical self and to find the bad. When we teach critical thinking, there's good, some good things in that, but sometimes it becomes an attitude, a posture. I mean, really, nearly every conversation at our workplaces and in our schools and at our dinner tables, it's negative. It's about our government. It's about our workplace policies and politics, about the church and religion, and it's all bad, right? And what do? We make it about ourselves and our needs not being met. So we complain and jump on the nearest airplane thinking our little mind's eye that it's going to be better if I just get out of here and greener on the other side of the fence. So we're in a different city. Maybe if I just don't live here, it'll be different there. There's too much homelessness here or whatever, or a different partner. That person's just not giving me what I need. We fell out of love. And also I can make sure my needs are met first. Far too often we live our lives based on the question, what do I want? And we stop there, missing the opportunity to be part of God's plan A. Beautiful people who join the redemptive story that he's writing for you and I and for those around us. In God's kingdom, where Christ is king, is different for beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven. Our number one concern is no longer about ourselves. It's not about ourselves anymore. Our greatest concerns are about the kingdom of heaven. It becomes about the least, the lost, the last and the lost, I should say. The kingdom of heaven is inside of us through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Paul speaks of this kingdom as righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And when Holy Spirit is living inside us and shaping our narrative and our rhythms and our passions, our stories, teaching us, leading us, nudging us, conforming us into the likeness, the image of Christ, which is the imago Dei, we realize that what I have isn't just for me or just about me, but it's for something far bigger than me. What I have isn't just for me anymore or just about me anymore, but it's for something so much bigger than just me. Friends, don't resist or deny the inner working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't allow our host culture to be your discipler. As beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven here and now, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your local church, being behind closed doors, even where you work, study, and play, we will see others. We will see the humanity in others the same way God sees them. And we recognize the fact that we've been called by God to partner with him in our time and in our energies and in our finances with our abilities to care for others. It's beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven here and now. It is we over me. It is service over status. It is God's purposes over the world's popularity and possessions and positions, right? It is worship over wealth. Beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven here and now, making a real and tangible difference in our circles of influence, in the lives of the least, the last, and the lost. Differences that will last into eternity, friends. So how do I know if I have a healthy eye or an unhealthy eye? Well, how do you handle your treasure? Remember, we put a pin in that earlier verse. Well, let's unpin it now because we're ready to talk about it. Because how you handle your treasure is a direct indicator of how you see others and what's actually in your heart. It is a matter of the heart, friends. Matthew 6:21, he continues, "For where your treasure is there, your heart will also be." Are you generous with what you've been given? Do you see your resources as a means given to you by God to help and share with others? Or do you use your treasure as a way to serve yourself, to make you look better and feel better, right? Are your hands open or do you cling on and hoard because you don't think you have enough? You might say, well, hang on, Pastor Chris. Wait a minute. Does this mean that if I follow Jesus that I have to be poor and give all my stuff away? Is that what you're saying? Well, no, not necessarily. Unless God is asking you to do that, then you should do it. But it does mean, and what I'm saying is that when we follow Jesus and we've realized that we are part of his kingdom, we realize with what our priority with money and things and time and energy really is. We realize who our treasure really belongs to. What I have has been gifted to me is a gift that is not meant to just bless me, but also this world. My treasure, my time, my energy, my finances, these are the things we treasure nowadays, is meant to serve his will and his purposes, not my own. Friends, I don't serve my money. My money serves me as I serve God's mission. It helps me to fulfill what God's called me to do. All right, Matthew 6 and 24 says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Can you recognize the tension that we sometimes find ourselves in? Now, we can say that we want to do that, but let's be honest, for some of us, it's really hard. It can be hard to open my hands and put the needs of others before myself, to have a good eye, even when I actually want one. It can be really challenging to do that. That's the tension we live in. What is causing me, though, to cling to my treasure and see people as threats in my life? To be stingy? What causes us to have a bad eye? Now, one of the greatest, biggest things, I believe, is worry. The worry that I'm not going to have enough, that my needs are not going to be met. But it goes deeper than that, friends. Our treasure actually reveals to us and shows us how we look at people. But our worry reveals to us what we believe about God. Let me say that again. Our treasure actually reveals to us and shows us how we look at people. But our worry reveals to us what we believe about God. Craig Rochelle, pastor, teacher, author, often says, what we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. So where in my life am I being stingy and worried? Or where in my life am I going, or am I good at being generous towards God, but still have the issues when it comes to being generous towards other people with my time, energy, and finance? And not just with my money and finances, but also with my time, right? I think it's important to bring this up. My energy, with my attention, and even my love. Where am I being stingy? Friends, I truly believe that God in this moment wants to speak to those of us who believe that I'm not going to have enough, or I'm not good enough even sometimes. He wants to meet your needs, and more than that, he has more than enough for you. He is a good shepherd. He is a good father, and because of him, I lack nothing. And in these moments, those moments where you and I want to cling to what we have and hoard what we have and hold on to it for dear life, God is reminding of his truth, that God is a good eye, and not just a good eye, but he has a very good eye, friends. That God is faithful and generous. This is his nature. This is his virtues. And that God can meet our needs. That God has a good eye towards you, that God cares about you and I and what you and I need, and that God sees you, and that he's actually able to meet your every need. See, friends, faith is not belief without proof, but is trust without reservation. Faith is not belief without proof, but is trust without reservation. Are you reserving your trust? Is there reservations in your trust today? And I know the enemy, the world, our flesh, and the devil, these three, the trinity of enemies, wants to disciple you in believing that you are the only one who's going through what you're going through right now. But don't fall for the lie, friends. And don't ever think that it's a good idea to attempt to go at life and ministry by yourself, because you somehow believe that you are different than everyone else, that you're the only one who has gone through what you've gone through or going through what you're going through, or that you're the only one who has the financial problems that you have, or the sexual urges that you're facing, or the lack of support that you might feel like you have. Friends, I've seen this over and over again, and especially in the past couple months to year, the enemy will always try to carve you out from the flock, to get you away from the protection of the shepherd and flock, to separate you from what actually is protecting you. Like a wolf, he's preying on you and whispering half-truths into your ears. Friends, the Holy Spirit is asking you in this moment, how are you seeing? How is your eyes? Is it through a lens of fear or through a lens of trust? See, fear will always carve you out of the flock. But when you begin to learn to trust and to surrender, submit, you will be protected amongst the flock of God. You will be protected because God does care about you and he wants you to be a part of his body. I have countless stories of moments and situations in my life of faithing where I've had the opportunity to make a decision to trust or to fear and to respond in that way. I've lost and gained jobs. I have experienced abundance and scarcity, food and no food, money and no money, health and sickness, gains and losses. I know I'm not alone in this room listening today or online. Many of you have also been in situations where you've had more worry than trust, right? Wrestled and grappled with insecurities and fear and sleeplessness. What is making you question God's goodness or his care for your life? Why is it so hard to trust without reservation? What are you looking for in order to find hope and comfort? In a world that says there is no absolute truth, you hear this around us quite often today. It's a no wonder anxiety, though, is it at an all-time high. I dare to propose, as beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven, people who live a life in direct contrast to the ways of our host culture, people who do have a different hope and comfort, there is an absolute truth. His name is Jesus, first off. And that truth is this, though, that we need to remember that God has a good eye for us. And not just a good eye, but a very good eye. And he has a good eye towards you, and he cares for your needs. He sees your needs, and he wants to meet them. And I'm not just saying your every want, because thank God he doesn't just give me everything I want, but everything that I need. And not just your physical needs, friends, but your emotional and spiritual needs as well. He sees what's going on in your family. He sees how you're hurting. He knows you're worried about your future and your kids' future as well. Yet in the midst of it all, how do we have a good eye? Well, we set aside worry and we remember that he is enough. He is a God who sees. This is what Jesus is inviting us into as beautiful people, to become beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven, where his people fully trust that God is truly enough. Now, Jesus continues in Matthew 6 and 25. Remember, he's talking to the poor, the hungry, the least, the last, and the lost. And his followers, he's also talking to those who have had every worldly reason to actually worry. And he addresses it. And he shifts their focus to how God sees them instead of how they're just seeing their problem. He says this in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns and let your heavenly Father, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field, they grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we think, and what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, right? And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, take part. In listening, it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When God sees our need, he does respond. He will respond. God has a very good eye. What do? We seek his kingdom way of living first, and all of what you need will be provided. That's his promises. For the Jews and the Hebrew people, the ancient peoples, to see can even mean to respond to a need. An example is when Abraham was on the mountain about to sacrifice his son Isaac, God stopped him and provided a lamb for the offering instead. It was there that Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide, the Lord will see. Oh, it's beautiful. The root of Jireh means the Lord will to see is what it means. Friends, beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven see the world and others differently. Instead of seeing with eyes filled with worry and distrust, we see with eyes full of trust and confidence. And this matters because what we see determines what we do. In this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has brought it home and invites us to examine what we hold dear. Is it our stuff, our position, our money, our sexuality, our things? Or is it our Heavenly Father and his kingdom? Jesus is inviting us to rethink how we see the world around us, to become the beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven who can fully trust that God is enough. Friends, he wants you to know that you are deeply loved by our Heavenly Father. That he sees you, that he knows you, and he wants to provide for you. When we believe that fully, then we can live truly as beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven. It's beautiful. Now, we're going to just pray for a moment, if that's okay with you. I just want to pray a blessing over you. And as you sit and reflect for a moment, I encourage you to just listen to Holy Spirit. Don't resist or deny Holy Spirit, but listen. All eyes closed for a moment. Jesus, I thank you so much for who you are. God, I present before you everyone who's here with me right now, who's watching and listening online. I thank you, Father, that you know exactly what they need, and not only do you know, but you actually care. You see them. And as you remain in a posture of prayer, I want to talk to you for a moment. Maybe you're here as we continue praying and you do have a need. You have an area of your life that you're worried about, even clinging onto because you're so afraid that you're not going to have enough left over. And in this moment, you realize today that you need to trust God, that you need to give it to Him, trusting that He cares about that He's able to come through for you. If that's you, you'd say, you know what, God, I need help. I want to trust you in this area of my life. I need you. Would you be so brave in the moment that you're in is to just raise your eyes and raise your hands to heaven and say, God, that's me. I want to trust you. I need you. I need to be able to trust you. Help me in Jesus' name. I want to pray for you today. God, I thank you for every single person who's saying that they need you right now. God, in each of their situations, God, I pray that you would meet their need. I pray that you would remind them who you are and how much you actually love them. I pray you would remind them that you are a good father who is generous toward his children, toward his kids. God, I pray that even right now in this moment, you are giving them the peace to know that you are with them and that you are enough. And friends, as we just continue being in this posture of prayer, I want to talk to those of you, maybe you're here today and you struggle maybe to trust with that God is in any areas of your life. Maybe for you, you haven't put your full trust in God with your whole life. If you and I were sitting down and you're talking right now and I asked you, what does your relationship with God look like? Maybe you'd say you don't have one. Or maybe you'd say like, I want one, but I'm not sure. I don't know what it looks like. Or maybe you would talk about all the things you know about God, but you realize that you yourself have never fully put your trust in God. That you've never made your faith your own. Maybe you know a lot of things about God, but you're really not, don't know God for yourself. Because here's the thing, God knows you. And not only does He know you, He cares for you. He's created you to be in relationship with you. And there's something that gets in our way. It's called sin, right? What is sin? Sin is a disease. It's the things that we do that hurts ourselves and others and keeps us separated from God. But God, in His infinite love for you and I, He couldn't stay separated from you. When we couldn't come to God in our own, He came to us and He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross and pay for the punishment for your sins and my sin. And then He rose from the grave. He didn't stay dead, but He raised, was risen from the grave. So now that anyone, including you and I, anyone who puts their trust in Him could be saved, could be forgiven, could be restored into relationship with Him. And maybe in this moment, you realize that's what you're missing, that you're ready to step into that relationship with Him. You're ready to give your life to Christ. And if that's you saying, yes, I'm ready to make that decision. I want to follow Jesus. I want a fresh start. Would you be so brave as to lift your hands in this moment in response to Jesus and say, I want you, Jesus. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. I want a fresh start. And I want to pray with you like this. Thank you. Jesus, thank you so much for the hands and hearts lifted in the rooms today and online, God. Thank you for dying on the cross and making a way for me to be in relationship with you. Thank you for absorbing my sin and my shame, my brokenness, healing me of my hurt and my pain. I choose to receive this extravagant gift of life and ask you to come into my heart and be the Lord and leader of my entire life. I give you all of me today, Jesus, and ask you to lead my life for your glory. Fill me with your spirit and help me live the life you died to give me. Show me how to activate your word in my life. Reveal to us where we can walk in the freedom that you have designed us to walk in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, friends. Wow, if you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time today and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader or recommit your life to following Jesus, would you let someone know? Let us know too. We would love to walk that out with you. Or you can connect with one of our team members. We would love to just be a part of that journey of finding hope and healing in your life. If you would like to take your next step to publicly declare your decision to follow Jesus by being baptized as Jesus commanded, he who is baptized shall be saved. Let us know. We would love to walk that out with you. Here's how you can live this out loud as an integral part of our church family. Take a step with us. Join the family. Make it official. Sign up for the next Family Discovery Night. Discover what it means to be a family member here of this local church. Join the Grow Teams, friends. Jump in and help serve one another and serve the mission of Jesus Christ. Work alongside a team here at Beloved and help us grow a life-giving and thriving church. Let's make an impact together and continue to practice living, giving, and serving and loving like Jesus. And last but not least, friends, will you prayerfully respond today as an act of worship to God with your money by giving financially at Beloved Church? Your financial partnership is helping us grow a dynamic Jesus-centered church in this city. This week, city groups are on pause for our leaders to meet, but we can't wait to see you again soon. We love you. We are praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you today in a special way. Amen.